From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. Enrollment is down at the University of Alaska Southeast, but not as much as university officials were expecting.
We've landed at 5% down, so we are down compared to last year, but not as much as we anticipated.
That's Lori Klein, Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs. She said the university had been expecting a 10% drop. Between the university's Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka campuses, there are just over 2,000 students enrolled. Because there are more students on campus than university officials had planned for, faculty and staff had to adapt.
As those enrollments bumped up, we had to go in and make physical adjustments to the classrooms.
Klein says students are following the university's pandemic precautions. They are required to wear masks inside, but students are also masking up outside.
And in fact, my understanding is that they're policing each other and making sure that people are appropriately being distanced, particularly when on campus.
Now that it's a quarter of the way through the semester, Klein says for the most part, the university is continuing to provide services such as advising and counseling remotely. Students can still request in-person appointments if needed. This summer is shaping up to be one of the worst ever in recent memory for bears in Juneau. Alaska Department of Fish and Game officials say a bunch of young bears and a dwindling natural food supply are forcing the Bruins to search human garbage for food before they hibernate for the winter. KTOO's Matt Miller has this report.
It's trash day in Renato Alenko's neighborhood. He's out this morning cleaning up the mess and looking over the damage to what used to be a locked tool shed in his driveway. A bear clawed open the shed's plastic doors overnight, got into the smelly garbage stored inside, and scattered it all over the place.
I will try to fix it. No, maybe, oh, this is okay, but maybe it's not open. It's breaking that one.
So somehow he got his claws in there and just kind of ripped off that part of the door then, right?
Oh, yeah. See?
Yeah.
Bears are now desperate to fatten up before hibernating, but this year's poor berry crop and lackluster salmon runs means more bears are looking for food in other places, like human garbage. Abby McAllister with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game also says more bears are competing for what little food is available. A better berry crop and decent fish runs last year meant more new cubs survived the winter. McAllister says those bears, what she calls a bumper crop of yearlings, have just been kicked out by mom, but they're still inexperienced about a lot of things.
Whether or not they should avoid humans, whether or not they should venture into this person's backyard and get into their trash. They're testing and they're learning, and so they may appear bolder for that reason, but mostly they just don't know any better. They're kind of like a teenager on their, you know, on their own for the first time, just trying to figure out things. They make a lot of mistakes along the way.
Bear-related calls into ADF&G and the Juneau Police Department are double last year at this time, nearly 700. They've responded to 13 different bears so far. That's on track as most ever for the year. Of those 13 bears, 4 were moved away from town. 9 were killed because they were a threat to life or property. Alenko lives in Creekside Park, a neighborhood of manufactured and mobile homes in Lemon Creek. Garages pretty much don't exist here. Many yards aren't big enough for a shed. Only a fraction of the garbage cans put out are actually bear-resistant. Lauren Brown, Juneau site manager for garbage utility Alaska Waste, told Juneau Assembly members recently that about 1,500 residential customers have bear-resistant cans, which automatically unload when turned upside down by truck.
None of them are bear-proof. That'll get us in trouble if I say they're bear-proof, for sure. They're bear-resistant.
Brown says there's a waiting list of 100 customers.
It really depends on bear issues. Like this year is obviously the worst it's been in years. It's just hard to say what number is enough.
Brown says 350 more cans are on order, but they're more expensive to use and they only come in one size so far, the biggest. They won't arrive for another month or two, too late for this season. For now, there's the Juneau Bear Committee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hanging in there.
Just want to let you know what we're doing. Yep. My name is Lori, and this is Kristen, and we're with Fish and Game. I'm a volunteer,
And we're putting these stickers onto the cans that are not bear resistant.
Okay.
So that people know about...
Lori Craig and Kristen Romanoff are putting yellow and black stickers on garbage cans that lay out Juneau's garbage ordinance, specifically the rule that says garbage must be kept inside an enclosed structure until 4 a.m. on pickup day. One resident tells them she's already had a bear tear into her enclosed entryway where she keeps her garbage.
My day off is Friday, so like when I hear the garbage truck come, I bring it out. My coming out right now is to bring it back in.
Perfect. That's great.
From residents Craig has talked to, she believes everyone wants to do the right thing, but some are not sure how. Craig says that's where community education is key in preventing Juneau's bears from becoming habituated to garbage and getting killed. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
The U.S. Forest Service wants a do-over for an old-growth timber sale that was halted by a federal court. As Coastal Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the Prince of Wales Island areas are being reanalyzed in an effort by the federal agency to bring the timber to market.
The Twin Mountain 2 timber sale would cover two separate areas north and west of Thorn Bay on Prince of Wales Island, altogether about 3,000 acres of old-growth forest. It was part of a larger timber sale that environmentalists successfully blocked with a court challenge last year. Tongass National Forest spokesman Paul Robbins Jr. said in a statement, "The Forest Service is restarting the environmental review process to get some old-growth timber to market."
The proposed project aligns with the multiple-use mandate for all national forests and will provide valuable resources toward preserving a viable timber industry in southeast Alaska.
It includes nearly 50 miles of new, temporary, and reconditioned roads to make the timber sale viable. And critics of old-growth logging say the Forest Service's priorities are wrong.
Forest Service is acting as a sore loser, and it's unfortunate after losing in court, they immediately turn around and offer this massive old-growth clear-cutting timber sale again.
That's Dan Cannon of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, the group that won a court victory earlier this year. While the timber sales were blocked in court, that decision did not hold up other aspects of the Prince of Wales Island land use plan. That includes stream restorations and investment in things like trails and cabins. Cannon notes that most of those projects haven't been funded by the Forest Service, yet it continues to budget for timber sales.
It's disappointing that the Forest Service has decided to immediately waste more money, time, and staff resources on clear-cutting old growth rather than focus on the desired recreation activities of Prince of Wales residents and the much-needed restoration efforts across the entire island due to the destruction of more than 50 years of industrial old-growth clear-cut logging.
And there's another wrinkle. One area of the proposed timber sale is on land sought by Southeast Alaska Natives who claim they were left out of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, or ANCSA.
They should talk to us about it.
Richard Reinhardt is a Wrangell member of the Alaska Natives Without Land. It's a five-community coalition with financial backing by Sea Alaska Corporation seeking federal land for Alaska Natives in Ketchikan, Petersburg, Wrangell, Tenneke Springs, and Haines.
You know, the areas that people would want us to go or not go, where they don't want us to go, is really huge, and places where they think it might be okay for us to claim land is pretty small.
He says Congress hasn't addressed the Southeast Alaska Natives' century-old land claims. He says he's wary of the Forest Service auctioning off valuable timberland until that's addressed. Southeast Alaska's timber industry has argued the old-growth timber harvests will be necessary to keep the region's last sawmills operating. The Alaska Forest Association, a timber industry group, didn't comment. The Forest Service is accepting online comments on the Twin Mountain 2 timber sale now through October 14th. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Residents in Ketchikan woke up to hazy skies this morning. National Weather Service forecaster Brian Caffrey says that haze is smoke from wildfires burning on the west coast of the lower 48.
There's been a low off of Washington that's been spinning. That's what's helped pull it up north into British Columbia, and finally just got in this morning to Dixon Entrance in the southern panhandle.
Wildfire smoke has shattered records for poor air quality in Oregon, Washington, and California. But here in Alaska, Caffrey says the smoke is forecast to remain suspended in the atmosphere over the southern panhandle today. That means it's not anticipated to be a health hazard. Preliminary data from the Juno Air Quality Monitor run by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation places the area's air quality in the good category. That means little to no risk to human health. Satellite model data from the company IQ Air says the same for southern southeast. This is KTOO News.